And y'all come ahead, and we're going to sing a little song for you tonight. Change things up just a little bit. We're going to sing while it's raining and thundering. You guys ready?
Yes, sir.
Here we go.
Many times I have wondered about the sights of that city, and oh, that my eyes shall be old. I will see all the wonders when I enter that city, there forever be safe in His fold. Some morning you'll find me touring that city, where the Son of God is the light. You'll find me there on the street so pretty, made of gold so pure and so bright. With Jesus the one who gave me the victory, who led me across the divide. Some morning you'll find me touring that city, where with Him I'll forever abide.
Here on earth we have troubles that to us seem so heavy, but in heaven no one will be sad. Mom and Dad will be singing, heaven's praises will be ringing, for the dearest friend I ever had.
Some morning you'll find me touring that city, where the Son of God is the light. You'll find me there on the street so pretty, made of gold so pure and so bright. With Jesus the one who gave me the victory, who led me across the divide. Some morning you'll find me touring that city, where with Him I'll forever abide. Some morning you'll find me touring that city, where the Son of God is the light. You'll find me there on the street so pretty, made of gold so pure and so bright. With Jesus the one who gave me the victory, who led me across the divide. Some morning you'll find me touring that city, where with Him I'll forever abide. Oh, with Him I'll forever abide. Oh, yes, with Him I'll forever
If you get your Bibles and go with me to 2 Samuel chapter number 9. 2 Samuel chapter number 9, we're going to be in the same chapter that we were last week. And I might preach one more message from this text before we move on to the next text. That'll bother me if it's all crooked. All right. Let's read the entire chapter to get the story here. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "And David said, Is there yet any that is left in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Remember what we preached on last week? David kept his word. Remember, he promised Jonathan that he would spare the heirs of not only Jonathan's house, but also Saul's house. In verse number 2, "And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Michal, the son of Amiel, in Lodibar. Then David sent and fetched him out of the house of Michal, the son of Amiel, from Lodibar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth? And he answered, behold, thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Now we're going to read the rest of the verses, but when I was studying this week, this phrase, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually, stuck out. One of the reasons that it stuck out is because in the next seven verses, it's going to be mentioned four times. You've heard me say this. When I was in Bible college, I remember Professor Ken Howard. I think Margaret knew Ken Howard. But he said one day, he said, if God puts anything in the Bible once, it's really important. And if he puts it in twice, it's really important. So here in this text, in just a few words, he's going to tell us this same thing, that Mephibosheth is going to eat at the king's table. And so with him telling us this over and over again, I think it's important. There's something that I believe that the Lord wants us to get from that. Verse number 8. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertaineth to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But here it is again, but Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servants, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's son. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Michal, and all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet. I've entitled my sermon tonight, Just Eating at the King's Table. Now there are two kinds of people in the world. You'll identify with one or the other. There are those who eat to live. How many of you just eat when you have to? Amen. Not too many of us like. So that means you're all going to be like this second category, which I'm in. I live to eat. I'm telling you what, I'm at the age, you know, I don't do a whole lot of things for entertainment, and eating is my entertainment. I love to eat. One of my favorite times of the week is Friday night when me and the little woman, CJ, we get in the little car, the pickup, and we drive over to Lubbock, and we pass the overpass out here, and I look to her and I say, babe. I was ready. But I like to eat steak at Brian's. It's cheaper than anybody else, but I just personally like the flavor of it. Every once in a while, we will go to the Roadhouse, and I've liked Razoo's of late. Get that blackened tilapia with the little L2 face off, sawing it, Brother Jerry. Woo-hoo-hoo, man. And they make those green beans, you know, they put bacon in there and no tellings, other kinds of stuff. Man, it's just good stuff. You leave there thinking, hallelujah, praise Jesus, I hope this is going to be in heaven. Now, there are special days like anniversaries. For a number of years, CJ and I, we used to drive to Amarillo, spend the night, and we would go eat at the Saltgrasses for our anniversary. And we would always make sure we got one of those big old pieces of carrot cake. Woo, man, that's good, isn't it? And, for about 30 years now, on Christmas Eve, I've always eaten at the Red Lobster. That's just what I've always done. I enjoy eating at the Red Lobster, and that's a Christmas Eve. Now, when CJ was working, we got to go eat at some places that I would never pay for, such as we got to eat steak at the Red Raider Club. Atop of Jones AT&T Stadium while we was eating, they had the little lights on, and we got to see the football field while we was eating that big old thick steak that was raw in the middle. Them downers would have loved, but I didn't like it. I want my meat done. We got to eat at the Double Nickel. Woo, man, that was good. And then we even got to eat at Las Baristas. I'm telling you what. Now, when you go from average places to those kind of places, there is a lot of difference. And, I was thinking, as I was reading this text, I wonder what it would be like to eat at the table of the president. Have you ever thought about that? So I did a little research, and looking at this, do you know they have 5 full-time executive chefs? I mean, anything that you want, you could order it up and they could fix it. They have 20 to 25 part-time assistant chefs and kitchen help. But here is my favorite thing. They have a full-time executive pastry and dessert chef. Woo! Banana pudding anytime you want it, and that earthquake cake anytime you want it, and all kinds of other desserts that they would cook. I'm just telling you, can you imagine being able to just pick up the phone and somebody that is an excellent cook can say, for dessert, I think I will have this or that. They also say that they use the very best ingredients when they cook for him. Now, this time of the year, I was raised with a dad that always had a huge garden. We had 3 lots next to our house, and he put one of those in a garden. And I'm just telling you what, if you've ever eaten out of the garden, you know it's not like going to the Walmart and get a great value green beans. Or it's not like going to the United and get one of those cardboard hard tomatoes. I'm telling you, when you get things out of the garden, it just tastes different. It is just better. And can you imagine every meal of the year eating with only ingredients like that? That'd be a little bit of heaven on earth, don't you? In this text, I've said all this because in this text, the Bible tells us that David is concerned about, is there any one left from the house of Saul or Jonathan? And so he calls one of Saul's servants in, and he asks him, and Ziba, Saul's servant, said, yes, there's one. His name is Mephibosheth. In verse number 3, the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show kindness? And Ziba said unto him, he hath yet a son, but he's lame on his feet. In verse number 4, the Bible says, and the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Michar, the son of Amiel, in Lodibar. Lodibar was one commentator put it this way, it was a ghetto place. Another commentator said that Lodibar was a podunk place. It means that there is no pasture. It means that it's a place that is out in the middle of nowhere. Mephibosheth, he started in the royal house. He started in the king's palace. And at the age of 5 years of age, we know that he left. And for about 15 years now, he has been hiding out in Lodibar, this ghetto place, this low place, where they wouldn't have all of the nice ingredients and the best kinds of food. But David says, Go get him. Bring him up here. And so they go and they get Mephibosheth and they bring him up, and he's worried. He doesn't know what David is going to do. And the Bible tells us that in verse number 6 that when he meets David, that Mephibosheth falls on his face and he does reverence, because in his mind he may be thinking, you know what, David is going to get rid of me. And Mephibosheth says, behold thy servant. Mephibosheth, you know what, I just want to serve you. I just want to be someone that is in your kingdom, and have mercy and have grace upon me. And notice what verse number 7 said. David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan's, thy father's sake. Well, that's a surprise to Mephibosheth. He was thinking, you know what, I may lose my life. And here David is saying, you know what, I'm going to show you grace, and I'm going to show you kindness. And here is one of the things that I'm going to do for you. You know all of the land that your grandfather, King Saul, owned? I'm giving you that land. I'm restoring that land to you. But he says, you know what, you personally are not going to have to live off of that land, because you, Mephibosheth, are going to get to eat at my table, the king's table, continually. Can you imagine going from eating at Taco Bell every day to eating at the White House every day? That is essentially what is taking place. He's saying, hey, David, he's saying, Mephibosheth, hey, you're going to get to eat the very best foods. You're going to get the very best shelves. You're going to get the very best of everything. You're not going to have to depend upon anybody else, but you are going to get to feed and feast at my table. He doesn't say it just once, but he says it four times. Do you feast at the table of the Lord Jesus? When you get into the Scriptures, does it feed your soul? Hey, when you come into the house of God, is your soul fed? I believe, and I want you to turn with me to this text. I want to show you a text. Luke chapter number 14. You see, I believe that Jesus invites us to eat at His table. I believe that Jesus invites us to feast with Him. In Luke chapter 14 and verse number 15, the Bible says, and when one of them sat at meat with him, heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways, into the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be full. For I say unto you that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my great supper. One of the things that I think we can draw out from this text is that God invites us to come and feast at His table. God wants to provide the very best joy, the very best satisfaction. God wants to provide the very best for you, but you have to come to the table in order to get it. What would you have thought of Mephibosheth when David, if David would have said, hey, you get to eat at my table, you get to eat of the very best, and Mephibosheth would have said, well, no, you know what, I don't think I want to do that. I think I want to go back to Lodibar and eat there. You would think he was crazy, wouldn't you? Can I ask you, what is the difference when Jesus says, come and eat at my table? Come and feast at my table. And we say, no, I don't think so. I want to go back out into the world and feast of their table. You might say, Brother David, how can we feast at the table of the Lord Jesus Christ? I want to give you five things that I think that we have to do in order to feast at the table of the King. The first thing is, and they're very simple, the first thing is that we've got to pray. Do you realize the God of this universe has given you an invitation? He wants you to come and pray and talk to Him. We need to be like the disciples in Luke chapter 1 and verse number 11 where they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Have you ever been serious about prayer enough that you would pray, God, would you show me how to pray? God, would you teach me how to pray? The disciples knew that it was so important if they were going to feast of the Lord Jesus Christ that they had to spend time in prayer. In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 5 through verse number 15, Jesus talks about prayer and he says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. Do you have an individual prayer time? Is there a time in your day, whether morning, noon, or night, that it's just you and God, and you are speaking to God, and you are being quiet and allowing God to speak to you? Because I'm telling you, it's during that time that He speaks to our hearts. Jesus would go on and say these words, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus said, when you pray, spend the first part of that prayer praising me and honoring me and praying that my glory would come upon this earth. And then he said, hey, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Jesus thought it was important to prayer. How many times in the New Testament did you see Jesus going apart and praying? If Jesus prayed, you and I pray, should pray. I'm telling you, you'll never get your soul full if you don't have a prayer life. You'll never get filled. You'll never feast the riches of God if you don't have some time that you spend personally in prayer. Because it's in prayer that not only you talk to God, but God talks to you. The second thing is that you need to read and study your Bible. Remember when we was going through 1 Peter, Peter said, you know what, you're drinking milk of the Word. And you know what, I think this is where we've got in Christendom today, and is that we just stay on the peripheral issues, and you start getting past the peripheral issues, and you start honing down into the deep truths of the Word of God, people check out. I can tell you just from standing in this pulpit, there are times that I get past some of the peripheral issues, and I start talking about some of the deep truths of the Word of God, and I'm telling you, people check out. Because it's not exciting, it's not titillating, and sometimes you have to think and you have to ponder. And my friends, listen to me, we need to get into the meat of the Word sometimes because that is where the riches of the Lord Jesus Christ is found. Turn over with me to Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1, here are just some things that you ought to think about this week, some of the meat of the Word. Colossians 1 in verse number 15, the Bible says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? Who is that? That's Jesus. He is the visible image of God. He is the firstborn of every creature. And then Paul is going to write and talks to us about some things about Jesus. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. I've gotten in a tizzy this week about things going on in our country, in our government. But if I will hone in on this passage of Scripture, listen to me. All authority was created for Jesus, and it is by Jesus. That's what that text says. Verse number 17. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. It means that Jesus Christ holds this thing together. Can I tell you tonight, this thing's not going to blow apart unless the Lord Jesus Christ lets it blow apart. Your life is not going to blow apart unless it passes through the hand of God first. That is what that verse says. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. All these climate people. AOC said, we only have 12 more years and the world is going to explode or blow up because of climate change. She doesn't know anything, my friends, because the Bible says that Jesus holds his things together. Verse number 18, he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, who is the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. You know what that verse says? That Jesus is over everything. He is the most important thing in your life and in the life of the church. Verse number 19, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him reconciled all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. You look at chapter number 3. In chapter number 3, if ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of the Father. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. What do you love the most in this world? Is it things that you can touch? Is it things that you can watch and see? Or is it things that are spiritual and heavenly? You see, we're in a crisis in America today. And the crisis is all we're concerned about is the here and now. And Paul is writing in this text and he says, you know what? Set your affections, set your love, set your desires, not on things of this earth, but on heavenly things, on things that are above. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, and the which ye also walked in some time when ye lived in them. But now put ye also off these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And you can go right on down. These verses are worth just spending some time in meditating upon them things, because there is vast richness in them. You see, you'll never get satisfied with Jesus until you get into his word and study his word and let God lead you in his word. The third thing is that if you're going to eat the king's table, you need to learn how to sing and be thankful to God. While we're in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 16, that same chapter, two times, and I won't read you the other one, is in Ephesians, but two times Paul writes the exact same thing. And he said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts. Stop right there. And I want you to tell me what those next three words are. To the Lord. You see, when I sing, it's not to impress you. It's not for your benefit. It's for his benefit. He says the exact same thing in Psalms, and the context is that he says, do not be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. And then he says, I want you to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs unto the Lord. You say, David, you're musical. I come from a musical family. I have a little bit of music about me. But I'm telling you, all of my life, I've just enjoyed singing and lifting my voice to the Lord. I told you when I was just a little boy in church, I've always been loud. I'm kind of quiet and mellow now. But boy, I used to be really loud. And when I was about 10, 11, and 12, boy, I would sing and we'd sing the congregational songs. And I would sit there and I'm just telling you, I would belt it out. And I'd stand behind Ms. Metz sometime, who was my Sunday school teacher, and I, while I was singing, she would just duck her head and say, oh my goodness. And you know what? There were some women that would go to my mother and say, you know what? You need to make him be quieter and not sing so loud. My mama said, mind your own business. I've never understood, and listen to me, hopefully I won't offend anybody, but listen to me, singing is to God. When CJ and I get in a fight and she irritates me, you know what'll put me in a good mood? Well, I woke up this morning feeling fine. I woke up with heaven on my mind. It's not long before I'm going back in, going, nah, 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 I'm not mad no more. Hey, have you ever got some news that was heartbreaking? I have. You know what'll help you? God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Sing it with me. He cares for me. He cares for me. He cares for me. He's so good to me. I'm telling you, if you'll learn how to lift your voice to the Lord, in private worship, it's just you and God, He'll fill your soul. Man, you'll be quiet and boy, you'll just feel a filling of your soul spiritually. The next one is that we need to serve the Lord. And when we serve the Lord, I'm telling you, He blesses and honors you. On Thursday of this week, I had the opportunity to go back to Coleman and preach a graveside service for a lady that was, her and her husband, was one of my favorite people in all the world. Her name was Sandra Tipton. About 2 years after I left Coleman, her husband died, Gene, which you've heard me talk about, Gene. Gene was 6'7". His fingers looked like that they were that long. He carried a big old huge red large print Bible. And boy, he loved to teach the Word of God. He loved the feast of the Word of God. And boy, I just enjoyed talking to him over the years. And I got to go back and preach his funeral. And that's been almost about 16 years ago. And I haven't really seen the other kids and stuff in about 16 years. But it sure was good to see him. Oh, they come up and hug me, and most of them were in our church at one point in time, the kids and the grandkids. And you know what? I left there thinking, you know what? If nothing else happened in my life, boy, God sure did bless me by letting me serve that family. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. You know what, man? You serve somebody and you help somebody and you do something wonderful for somebody. Boy, it sure is a whole lot better than if someone writes you a $1,000 check. You see, when you serve, God just fills you up. You get to know what it's like to feast at the table. And then the last one is you get to feast at the table when you worship. You see, we call our services worship services, and sometimes worship takes place and sometimes it doesn't. But you know what worship really is? It's submitting to God. Until you submit to the Lord in your life, you can't worship. Because worship is bowing prostrate on the ground before God and saying, God, whatever it is that you want in my life, I'm willing to do. Oh, when you do that, He fills you up. And you know what it's like to eat at the King's table. Go with me to Luke chapter number 15 and I'm done. Luke chapter number 15, I'm done. It's a very familiar story. It's the story of the prodigal son. Verse number 11, the Bible says, and he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance in righteous living. You see, he was essentially eating at the king's table. He was living with his father, and his father had great wealth, and he had the best of all there was to eat. But he decided, you know what? I don't want to do that anymore. I want to go back over here and eat. And so that's what he did. And verse number 14, as we read it again, and when he had spent all there, arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. You see, he's left eating at the king's table, his father's table, and now he's out here where he thought there was, man, great joy and great happiness and great satisfaction in the world. But now he's figured out, hey, there is no satisfaction at that. He's eating the leftovers. He's eating with the pigs. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to eat and spare, and I perish with hunger? He said, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes upon his feet. And notice this, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. I know this may sound strange, speaking to the very best of the Bible Baptist Church, because you're always here. But are you in a dry spell? When you read the Word of God, do you sense the presence of God? When you get on your knees, it's just you and God, and you begin to pray, are you in that position where it doesn't feel like your prayers get above the ceiling, or when you pray, it feels like heaven comes down and fills that room? When you open the Word of God, is it just like reading another book and, man, you read through it? Or when you read the Word of God, you see things and God speaks to you and shows you things that you've never seen before, and every day you can't wait until you open up the Word of God so God will speak to you and fill you? When you come to church, do you come and, boy, just go through the motions? We sing songs and we leave, and you leave the same way that you came in? Or when you come in, do you feel and sense the presence of God, and God fills your soul? The prodigal son had it at the father's house. He left and was eating things that wasn't fulfilling. But the father said, hey, come home. We're going to eat the fatted calf. I'm telling you, there's nothing greater in all of the life of a Christian than experiencing God's power and God's presence and feasting at His table. If you're in a dry spell, I'm telling you, God says, come back. I want a fellowship with you. I want you to feast at my table. Let's pray. God, we love you. Lord, there's times in my life, more times than I want to account, that serving you and reading and praying just became routine. Been many dry spells. God, there's also been many times that every time I would pray, heaven came down. Every time I would pick up the Word of God, the Shekinah of glory would fill the room. Every time I would sing and lift my voice, it was as though you speaking to my heart and encouraging me and lifting me up. God, we are living in some tough times. And how we need to feast at your table. How we need you to give us joy, give us peace, and to give us satisfaction. God, tonight I pray that we'd be honest with ourselves, wouldn't lie to ourselves. And God, maybe tonight we would start that track back to you, back to the King's table, and we would sup with you. God, I pray that you'd have your will and your way in our invitation tonight. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with us, please? Martha and Linda are going to play through a verse of invitation. Maybe God's spoken to you. If he has, you come.